How has pop American Christianity replaced the Holy Trinity with the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's written by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Has American Christianity Failed? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Has American Christianity Failed?
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and
it's a familiar story from several of the Gospels. Matthew tells it probably in its longest form. The temptation of Jesus. Now, I remember hearing about this in Sunday school and learning about it in Bible class and thinking to myself, well, you know, if you read this, Jesus doesn't actually seem very tempted by the things that the devil is laying out. Not in the way that I would have been tempted by such things. Hungry after 40 days of starvation, and I had the ability to turn stones into bread, I would seriously consider it. Jesus doesn't seem to consider it at all. All the wealth and power of the world laid out before me, and he says, all this will be yours if, well, I might for a second think about it. Jesus doesn't seem to consider it for a moment. Or throw yourself down. Your father says his angels will catch you before you reach the bottom. I don't know. Maybe just to see. But Jesus has no interest in such things. So I guess the question is, was Jesus really tempted? Or do we have to think about Jesus' temptation differently since I've got sin that is working against me as well as the devil? Joining us to talk about the temptation of Jesus in Matthew's gospel and to teach a Sunday school lesson, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Yes, thank you, Todd.
It is perhaps difficult to understand how Jesus, without any sin of his own, is tempted by the devil, especially since he doesn't seem to be interested in any things the devil is laying in front of him. How would you explain that?
Yes, theology is the art of making distinctions, and one of the most important distinctions is to distinguish what words mean, even the same words, in different contexts. For example, under law and gospel, the word law has 12 different meanings. And until you see the context, you're not really sure which meaning one is to be talking about. The same with the word temptation. Immediately when we think of temptation, and this is found in many religions, it is the inclination to sin. And so we wonder, how could Jesus have an inclination to sin if he never sinned? But there's another meaning to temptation. It describes the coaxing or inducing a person into committing such an act by manipulation or maybe by curiosity, desire, fear of loss. For example, it was not a sin that Adam and Eve heard from Satan that they ought to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for they would then become like God. It wasn't a sin for them to consider that. Where the sin came in is when they fell into the temptation, they believed the devil, and therefore they sinned. So his temptation, from the devil's point of view, to Adam and Eve wasn't the sin on their part, but rather they're falling into the temptation. And that's where Jesus never fell into the temptation. The devil could do all he wanted in inducing or manipulating Jesus, but Jesus is far wiser than the devil. As Martin Luther's hymn says, one little word can fell him, he's judged, the deed is done.
Now, so it is a genuine temptation, but Jesus has no inclination to sin in himself where he would say, that sounds like a good idea.
Well said.
Does it also demonstrate just the utter foolishness of Satan himself that he would even attempt to tempt God? himself.
Yes. Every time we run into false doctrine, it is always due to a wrong view of God. So if we're talking about infant baptism, and some people say, oh, we should not baptize infants, the real problem isn't the subject of infant baptism, but their view of God. Similarly here, Satan has a view of God that he thinks he can be manipulated, that he can be tricked, like he did with Adam and Eve. And therefore, he just doesn't know God. He's just totally unaware that God is mountains ahead of him in wisdom, and therefore does not have these inclinations to sin as did Adam and Eve.
Tell us the story of Jesus' temptation.
The fact of the matter is that this is after his baptism. And this is very important because he doesn't decide to go into the wilderness, but he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That's verse 1 of chapter 4. And what he does, he goes in for 40 days. Now, as soon as you hear the word 40, oh, first of all, you had 40 years in the wilderness. In Genesis 7, verse 4, God allowed it to rain 7 more days so that it would rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. The spies went into Cana, spying out the land for 40 days. And in Numbers 14, verse 34, God says, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years. And that's why they went back into the wilderness another 38 years. And then you have Moses, and he went in the strength of that food that he arose, ate, and drank for 40 nights as far as Horeb, 40 days and 40 nights, the mountain of God. And 2 Chronicles 24, verse 1, Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. So numbers are really significant. It's always fun to kind of go through in a concordance and see how they pile up. For God, that number 40 was significant. And particularly for Jesus, after having been baptized, he's now going to begin his ministry. And what is his ministry? Taking us to the promised land. So the first part of it is to go through the wilderness. And that's what happens. The devil, he is tempted for 40 days by the devil. Now, that's critical, Luke 4, verse 2, because that means that there just weren't three temptations. It's kind of like, how many wise men were there? Well, we hear three gifts, we assume three wise men. It could have been more. Similarly, Jesus would have been tempted numerous times during those days. We hear of these last temptations by none other than by the devil. In fact, the Greek word there is diabolo, which occurs 38 times in the New Testament, referring to Satan, the prince of the demons, the author of evil, estranging mankind from God, enticing them to sin, afflicting them with diseases by means of demons, even taking control of their bodies. So in each temptation, and you said it well, tempted by stones into bread, jumping from the pinnacle, worship me, all will be yours. It is really fascinating how Jesus responds. He responds with a word from Scripture. In fact, specifically from Deuteronomy. And it reminds me of the Old Testament lesson for this coming Sunday when God is making a point between the true prophets and the false prophets. The false prophets just tell you what their dreams are telling them, their hopes, their personal aspirations. But the true prophet always speaks the word of God. And that's why anytime you hear somebody say something you don't agree with in the Bible, ask him, where is that in the Bible? And guess what? They're not going to be able to find it. So Jesus is tremendous in overcoming every one of these temptations. And he finally says to him, Away with you. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God. And the devil left him. And then guess what? Behold, angels came and ministered to him. So we can go into the temptations, but that's basically the outline of the Sunday school lesson for this coming Sunday.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. When we turn from this break, we're going to go through the temptations in a little more detail in the minutes left to us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Arizona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Tom Baker about the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. You will find a link to Law and Gospel, his radio show, under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Baker, you wanted to, I think, compare and contrast the three temptations that Jesus undergoes on our behalf with something else in Holy Scripture.
Yes. The book of James is very clear. God never tempts us. We're tempted instead by our flesh, the world, and the devil. I find it fascinating when you take a look at the fall of Adam and Eve into sin. Listen to Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the flesh, that it was pleasant to the eyes, that's the world, and a tree desirable to make one wise, that's the devil tempting them to become like God. Those three flesh, world, and devil temptations Jesus also undergoes. So this lesson shows us that what Jesus does as our Savior is not only being compared to Israel with the 40 years in the wilderness where he was successful, but it's also a reversal of the fall into sin. Remember, Eve says it's good for food. What does the devil say? Stones will be turned into bread. Then she says, it's pleasant to the eyes. What does the devil say? Jump from the pinnacle of the temple. In fact, we believe that at that time there was a theory in Judaism that on the Day of Atonement, if the Messiah appeared at a certain pinnacle of the temple, that would prove he was the Messiah. Well, imagine he not only appears there, but he jumps down from there. Wow, no need to be crucified. People would believe he's the Messiah. It would have been pleasant to the eyes. And then the devil, able to make one wise. Well, who wouldn't want to be wise knowing that all things in the world are yours? And that's what the third temptation is. Worship me and all will be yours. So the first thing we get across to the Sunday school children is notice how Jesus grasps on to his own word. We can almost say Jesus is listening to Jesus because he quotes Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 where he says, man does not live by bread alone. Then he quotes Deuteronomy 6, 13 and 14, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him. And then Deuteronomy 6, 16, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. I like that one best because this shows clearly the devil isn't tempting the Father. He's tempting the Son. And it is Jesus who says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. This is a passage, it seems to me, that indicates that Jesus is confessing that he is God. So the two points I really want to get across to the children is temptations often occur when they have in their minds from the devil, well, did God ever say you can't do that? And of course, boy, there's a lot of things that God didn't say in the Bible you can't do. I was on my way home from Trinity Orchard Farm today from a Bible study, and I was on Highway 370, and all of a sudden, four cars came around me very fast. They were racing each other. They were at least 20, 25 miles over the speed limit. I'll tell you this. Satan did not say to those people who were racing those cars, hey, go ahead and race those cars, and maybe you'll have a terrible accident, and you'll all get hurt. Maybe you'll even die. And that's the other point you want to make to the children. Satan will tempt you with positive outcomes, not negative outcomes. I can't remember the last time that I sinned when I did so knowing that something terrible is going to happen to me. No, I always sin thinking it's going to be better off for me. And then, of course, it never works out that way. So that would be, to me, an important lesson that the children need to know. Anytime anybody tempts you, what does the scripture say? And number two, notice how it's the positive outcomes that got you going, not the true negative outcomes.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
Speaking of law and gospel, Dr. Carl Fikencher made a presentation at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference titled Making the Case for Law and Gospel Preaching. We'll send you a conference audio DVD for a recommended contribution of $300. You can order by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Make sure you write the conference audio DVD in the memo line of your check. You can also order online at issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., part two of our series on Pop American Christianity with Pastor Brian Wolf Miller. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.